Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a valley and die, let you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is episode number 397. Yes, the Christmas Eve. That's Christmas Eve times four. Special tonight, and hopefully everybody's hearing this. Last night, they had a system outage on Blog Talk Radio, and we were prevented from being able to do the live broadcast completely. Tonight, it's acting a little finicky, so I'm hoping everybody is hearing us. I hope they have resolved the problems. They didn't have any notifications tonight waiting for me, and so I'm hoping that everybody can at least hear me. And so if you're in the chat room, please do type in and let us know that you can hear us. And I'm going to go ahead and bring on tonight's co-host right away. And joining us for tonight's show, first of all, we'll go ahead and bring aboard the wonderful, the amazing, the lovely Holly Marie Phillippe. And Holly, hopefully you can hear me. Is that you? I can hear you.
That's fine. And I did alert our other co-host that to go ahead and try to call in.
Yeah, he's on deck. So I'm just trying to see if anybody in the chat room can let us know that they're hearing the show fine. Because, of course, we had a nightmare last night.
It's not letting me sign in. So I can't get into the chat room yet, but I'll keep trying.
Okay, yeah, because so far we got a good chat room building up, and I'm going to give a special shout-out right from the start of the show, actually, right before I bring on tonight's guest. Well, I need to make tonight's guest be on here for that, because it'll add to the fun for who I'm going to give the shout-out for. But tonight's guest is an Imaginary Convention favorite. He is also a Star Chamber Show favorite. He's a multi-award-winning writer of horror and dark fiction. He's the author of The Mourner's Cradle, Poisonous, and Anybody Want to Play War, and also the highly acclaimed Black Carmenia series. Yes, he is the one, the only, the one and only, the man from Fort Smith, Tommy B. Smith. Tommy, hopefully you're on tonight.
Hello, everyone. I can hear you. You can hear me, and apparently everyone else can hear us all. So,
I got a brief scare because, as Holly could tell you, when I came in, we could not log in through the phone. You know, the phone connection wouldn't log in as the host connection because you have to have a host number and then you have a PIN number you have to enter. I mean, it wouldn't take the host number wouldn't click in, so I couldn't even enter the PIN number. So, yeah, it was. Not fun. So I was like, oh, no, here we go again. But we apparently we can be heard, which is good. Let's hope it stays that way. And we've got a great chat room building. Sorry, the avatars for you all is not showing yet. They're probably still getting resolved, whatever it was yesterday. But, yes, Tommy, you're here early enough that we're going to give a special. Today is a birthday, and it's a birthday for one of the Imaginarium staff members and one of my favorite people who I've known since he was 10 years old. And he's at home tonight enjoying this special day with a nice bottle of Woodford Reserve Bourbon. And so a very, very talented writer. And, of course, I'm speaking of the one, the only Will Hutcherson. Young Will, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Will.
Yes, happy birthday, Will.
He's in the chat room, so you can also wish him happy birthday there. I'm sure he takes gifts, you know, if you want to send him, you know, cash so he can buy more bourbon. But, yeah, he's there. And glad he made it to the show. And I see that Moon, Duan Hearn has come back after last night. I know we probably won't get everybody back that we had on our regular day, but hopefully everybody will catch the show at least, because this is a tradition. It's a tradition. And notice I did upgrade the graphic. I did upgrade the show description. Yesterday was Christmas Eve times 5. Today is Christmas Eve times 4. So it's the Christmas Eve show. So just to make sure that you all have full accuracy, and I know Tommy was, you know, he definitely wanted to make sure that I was a stickler on accuracy there, I'm sure. And but yes, it's a Christmas Eve times 4. And so Tommy, you're the man of the hour, and of course, you know, it's not a Christmas Eve, whatever, how many Eves it is, unless you're here. So how have you been? Catch us up a little bit. We've missed
you. Well, I've been very busy. Yeah, well, I've been very busy. This time of the year tends to be that way for myself. I have noticed reviewing or social media, Facebook in particular, notifies me of memories of the past 10 years, my complaining about how busy I am and I don't have time for social media for about 10 years in a row in December. So if I sort of vanish, apparently that is a tendency of mine, is around the December month, is it gets a little sparse. Then you'll hear from me here and there. And then New Year's, of course, everyone will, typically every year on New Year's Eve, you'll get a lengthy post from me, but on social media.
Yes.
But
well, awesome. I'm glad you could continue our tradition, at least, because for the most part, you know, you've been able to be with us on these Christmas Eve shows that we call it a Christmas Eve special, whatever, however many Eves it is out from the actual Christmas Eve. I'm not even sure we've actually had an actual Christmas Eve show. Yeah, I think they've been always like Eve or 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
I think
we have done it like the Eve before Christmas Eve, because I remember that because I've had to make stuff. And I hopped on for a little bit, but I had stuff going on, and I couldn't stay on the whole time.
Yeah,
that may have been how it started, with only 2 Eves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the 2 Eves. I think the original was Christmas Eve show. And, of course, that's how traditions get started. And we've kept it up. And we're doing our best to maintain that tonight and give you an interesting show. And of course, Tommy's here, and so, yeah, we want to talk to him about all the cool plans he's got for the cats on Christmas and you know, what kind of traditions he does with cats on Christmas Day. Who knows? You never know what we'll talk about on this show, but we do want to give you at least a chance to get updated on what Tommy's been up to. But I will have to take a brief moment since Tommy is both a co-host and guest. I will have to take a brief moment to acknowledge the folks that brought us tonight's show, because of course we can't do the show. It does cost some money to have the account for all the call-in lines and everything else, and the account itself. So yeah, thank you very much to Sandy Lender and Ren Garcia for supporting the show, and they brought you tonight's Christmas Eve times 4 special. And let me give you a couple of spots for each of them. First, we'll go with Sandy Lender. And yes, she's got sleigh bells in this.
Give someone you love the gift of adventure for Christmas. Help them escape reality with an epic fantasy dragon girl power sword and sorcery saga that thrills and entertains. Send your loved ones to Unveiled for the holidays with a novel from author Sandy Lender. Visit Sandy's author page on Amazon or her website at authorsandylender.com and make it a fantastic Christmas.
Thank you, Sandy Lender, and always a good choice. Good choices to get Sandy Lender books. Absolutely exceptional writer and storyteller, and you can't go wrong. And so now we're going to bring you to another very talented author who has an amazing series called The League of Elder. Of course, that's Ren Garcia. And he asked the question that we love to answer at the end of his spot. So you've heard it if you're a regular on the show. We love it. Here it is.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes. We are all weird enough for you. I think I speak for all of us. But, yes, thank you, Ren Garcia. And you guys are the best. Thank you very, very much. And, yes, definitely. Also, this is affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention. If you do want to get a last-minute Christmas gift, a good idea is to get an event ticket for a friend or family member who is a creative. Send them to Imaginarium next summer. You can get, of course, you can get single-day passes, buy them a Saturday pass, or get the full weekend. But, yeah, it's always a good last-minute Christmas gift for the creatives in your life. And, of course, you'll get to meet Tommy B. Smith in person because, like I said, he's a favorite there. So, and you also get to meet great people like Lee Pennington, who we announced today, spotlighted guest, poet laureate, multiple, I mean, just oodles of awards. He's even got his own display at the University of Louisville, his own, like, you know, they keep – oh, it's just amazing, amazing guy. This is a playwright. He's a filmmaker, an author, poet, just a phenomenal individual. And, yeah, he's just – it's. I could go on and on about him. But, yes, Lee Pennington will be there as well, and we announced him today, and you get to meet him too, and many, many others. But, yes, back to you, Tommy. Catch us up on you. I know you've been – obviously you said you've been very, very busy, but – how's the writing front going? I know this isn't part of your tour season, so I know there's probably not a lot of events to report on, but how's the writing going, and what do you have coming up for 2024?
Well, the writing's going fairly well, somewhat sporadic due to, the December month and all that brings. But of course, I'm always writing, keeping the momentum rolling along as best I can. I've told others I think it's important to remain consistent in that. But mostly short story material in between novel-length projects I've been working on. But the third and final Black Hermione volume will be coming in 2024, so everyone will have that to look forward to from me. Also, there's an anthology coming out. You should see a short story coming out in that from me, and there'll be more to be announced in the future once I'm allowed to talk about it. But, so,
cool.
Yeah, there's plenty in the works and more to come for sure.
Yes, you made quite a great mission statement online the other day. I loved it where you were very clear that you were barreling forward, full steam ahead, all systems go, no holds barred, and you are going to be writing everything that you love to write. No matter what the market is and what's trending, and I loved your mission statement. That was very, as I say, metal. resonated. Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not done by far. I don't think any of us here are.
No.
And that's a good way to be, pushing on. And I've never written to market trends. It's just not my way, so... That
I've never been that way either, and I believe that that's the best way to catch a trend or connect with one is that if you're writing from your heart, it's just a matter of timing because it'll have that organic feel. It'll feel real. It'll come from the right places. I think that's the approach rather than trying just to absolutely plan around the market or try to catch a trend. Because usually by the time you try to catch a trend, the next one's already coming in and the other one's going out.
Yep.
So
your fans and your readers want to hear from you, not trends.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have enough. I have enough to say and enough stories to tell that I'll never have enough time to tell them. And all of those other stories, all of the trends and all of, that's what everyone else is saying, and that's fine. But we all have a voice. We have our own voice. So we don't necessarily have to go with the flow, the tide.
Being unique is quite important.
And when he's not writing, Tommy is instigating, because yesterday it was timed perfectly, and I thought, well, this is great, because Tommy happened to be on the show, and I happened to do a cover reveal for a brand-new horror novel I have. It's coming out in mid-January called Days of Darkness, and it's my first Hellscapes full-length novel. I've got 3 volumes of short stories in that franchise, and they, you know, so if people are familiar with those, they'll have a good idea as to the tone and content of this one. But this is a full-size novel, and it all started when Tommy B and I were chatting, and a long time back there. Well, not a long time, I can't remember exactly when it was, but yeah, it's been well over, I guess, a year and a half or so. And he said, yeah, why don't you do a novel in the Hellscapes, you know, realm.
Well,
the time, obviously, I had only done short stories, and I hadn't, you know, approached that yet, and I had a concept that I thought would flesh out to be a full story, and by God, yeah, it did. And Holly, you know, served as editor on it, and we did the cover reveal, and Graham Ganson, he goes by Morbus online, this is like his artist name, and he is he's great, and he's been on the show. If you look in our archive, look for Graham Ganson. Just a great guy. Tommy would love him. He's a total metalhead, and so he and I connect great. His son is actually a huge fan of my Rising Dawn saga. He's got like a young son. He's an avid reader. He loves my Rising Dawn saga. So it's just awesome because he's already got a family that's into my stuff, and he's an artist that I think is exceptional. He the first one he did with us was Reckoning Day with Stephen Shrewsbury, and I thought he knocked out of the park on that. And that cover was gorgeous. And I was just, and when I realized that I was next on the list, I was like, oh yeah, because I knew that, you know, it'd be something pretty cool. And so yeah, we had back and forth, and I gave him a lot of the feel and tone and concepts of things in the book. And you know, it's definitely, you know, if you look at the cover, it's got, you can see it's got a little bit of a Lovecraftian vibe, and the book does have that. I also say, you know, it's definitely very, you know, it shows my Clive Barker influence. It's a little Barker-esque, but it also has a little flavor of Dante's Inferno. It also has a little flavor of Wayne Barlow. And if you ever, you know, a lot of people are familiar with Wayne Barlow's art, but he's written a couple of just phenomenal novels that are set in hell, literally. And so they, you know, definitely some good stuff. And so that's, you know, obviously the Hellscapes franchise, that's where all these stories are set. And so, yeah, it's got little little flavors of some things like that in it, but it all weaves together, and it's got a big scale to it too. I think it's got a scale. It's a little bit bigger than any of the short stories I've done so far. And I don't want to give away too much about it. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. So, but I will ask. Holly. Yeah, so she can give Tommy a little feel for, since it's not me talking. But Holly, tell Tommy a little bit about what you thought going through this one.
Well, this one is much different because he had more time, which you gave him the idea, Tommy, to do the full length novel instead of the short stories. You know, the regular Hellscapes books that he has, the 1 through 3, are short stories that are compiled together and eventually, you know, fleshes out a cohesive story. These people have done bad things, and the gist of it is they end up in hell reliving, you know, the things they have done. And their penance is to relive this. And to be tortured by, you know, these memories.
Or confronted
by,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, oh, man, I shouldn't have done this, you know. And they're confused at first because it's like, what is going on? And in the full length, Stephen was able to add more, or a huge element in this. The supernatural beings are just, oh, my gosh, they're so, I don't even know how you would explain creepy, or even, you know, the creepiest creatures I have ever encountered. I was like, oh, Stephen, you know. But they are very visceral. It's very Clive Barker-ish, you know. It's got that tone. It's one of those you can't put down. I mean, you get into it, you don't want to quit reading it, even editing it. You know, it's hard to put it down because I'm like, oh, I want to know, you know, what happens next, what is going on. It's quite fascinating, the ride that this takes you on. I even, during the cover reveal I put out yesterday on Facebook, I put a little pun in, but it's one hell of a story, and it really is. The creep factor is a 9 out of 10. You know, it's and the creatures are just great.
Yeah, it's,
yeah,
it's a great story. I think Tommy will enjoy it because it's got all kinds of twists and elements of horror with dark fantasy elements. And
yes.
And it's got, you can't predict it. You can't predict the course of it, and it grows.
No.
I mean, it just keeps getting, I describe it as an unfurling nightmare, and it is. It kind of just gets worse and worse and worse. And
it's not just, you're not just talking about one character. You have
right.
a plethora, you know, of character arcs.
Mm-hmm.
You have character arcs and rich development within those characters as the book progresses. And like I said, it's just hard to put down. You don't.
And if you've read,
you're wanting to know what's going on.
Yeah. And if you've read my previous ones, you know that I have some characters that almost serve the function of a Greek chorus. They're characters that repeat in various short stories. You know, they do, some of them reappear and they act like a Greek chorus element. And you get to meet a couple new ones, and you get to see a couple familiar ones in this. And there's also one that I just loved, and it's an homage to a certain Edgar Allan Poe story. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I'm just throwing that out there to see if people catch it and they enjoy it. It's not just blatant, but there is an homage in there to Edgar Allan Poe in there, and I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's got the goods. I mean, it definitely does, and it ends on a grand finale that just is absolutely sheer madness. And Tommy will definitely love the grand finale because it's just nuts. It's chaos, and I know he loves chaos. So, but it's he'll enjoy it, and so I think he'll be glad that he made the suggestion for me to do a novel in that franchise. And I loved it so much. Yeah, I'm like, I'll try it again at some point. And you know, but you know, I don't admit. Yeah, this isn't like, this won't be, there won't be like a book two to this. These will be standalones, just like the short stories. But it will be you know. But I will do other novel length ones, I think, in this franchise because this is a lot of fun. So, thank you, Tommy. it's about here finally.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome. I have wondered just how deep into hell you might be willing to lead us. That cover art is evocative of something very dark and hellish. And I did catch tones of the Lovecraftian aspect that you mentioned. Do we have a ballpark release date or when might we see this?
January 16th will be out.
Oh, so it's coming soon.
January the 16th, yes. And I didn't want to wait too long. I want to get it out. I wanted to get it out in Halloween, but we just went through so much on our front that I just could not get it done in time as far as released and by then. So yeah, we just had to put it off just a little bit, but that's fine. We'll kick off the new year with it, and I think you're gonna really enjoy it. And yeah, it does. It's not for the squeamish or faint of heart. It's intense. I almost feel like I have to warn a few people that some of my heroic fantasy and Iron Age stuff and fantasy work and all that, to almost warn them that be ready. This is a little, even a little more intense, but the themes are, ultimately the same kind of themes are underneath it, even if they're in a more macabre kind of styling. Or visceral, you know, the themes are still there. There's still a moral to the story. You know, it's not just shock for shock's sake. So there's something there. But I think if you like some of the writers that I've been mentioning, like Barker, Barlow, or you know, folks like that, or Lovecraft, and I think there's stuff for all readers of all those authors. I think that they'll like. And we'll see how it does. But definitely, I I'm very happy personally with how it turned out. You know, and I am very confident that Tommy's going to enjoy it. So, yeah, you'll get a copy very shortly.
Certainly looking forward to it.
Yep.
Certainly looking forward to it.
So, yeah, I figured I'd I have to thank you for kind of being an instigator on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but, yeah, 2024 going to be hitting the ground running. And, yeah, looking forward to a lot of good stuff from you with the Black Carminia Book 3 and this anthology that you've hinted at. And, of course, I know you're always writing and doing good things. And, of course, I met you originally at Mid-South Con.
The first book I got from you was
Piece of Chaos, which is a short story collection. And, you know, that was kind of the theme of your table set up. You had broken kind of mirror pieces around your table. And I still remember that vividly when I first met you. And that's cool that you're actually back into doing some short fiction again. So that's because that's how my road with you started. So that's fun.
Well, that's how I started writing, started as an active writer, selling short stories to a variety of magazines and anthology, you know, publishers for anthologies and the like. So I think, we have a lot of fans of short fiction. I don't know. I suppose the average attention span has fallen, you know. There are a lot more people who enjoy lately, I suppose, short fiction. Anthologies and like seem to be enjoying a bit more, I'm not going to say widespread popularity, but more popular perhaps lately than.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to write that length of a story. And I was thinking since you had mentioned, and I have a question after this, but since you had mentioned Pieces of Chaos, probably the closest thing I've ever written, since this is the Christmas Eve times 4 special, probably the closest thing I've ever written to a Christmas tale would be The Dead of December, which is the penultimate story in Pieces of Chaos, which isn't actually a Christmas story at all, except for those who are really paying attention. But it's sort of a combination of Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Match Girl and a Donner Party expedition and Evil Dead sort of thrown into this. There's cannibalism and you know, forces at work that are by far are more diabolical than that, and you know, a lot of things going on. But I was kind of curious. What about yourself? Have you ever written any Christmas influenced or related work or
story
along those lines?
Here you go. You're instigating again. You are instigating again. No, I have not. I have not done a because typically my stuff is either set in ancient times, obviously before Christmas, you know, existed,
right.
And or you know, like I said, in parallel worlds.
But,
where
but
I have really.
Solstice. There's solstice.
Yep.
And
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm speaking of it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm speaking of yeah, but I know what he's talking about. He's speaking of, you know, Christmas is, you know, defined
right.
Largely today. But yeah, that certainly could entail Krampus because that's part of the lore this part of the year. But
indeed,
I have not done one yet. So, I think you might start something. I might have to start rolling that around my head. Now, I can't promise it'll be a full novel. It may be a short story, but who knows? Yeah, because you found something I haven't addressed yet, a Christmas tale. So, so we'll have to see this. Yeah, or something that counts because of course Gremlins I count it as a Christmas movie, even though it's,
oh yes, yeah.
It's insane and full of mayhem and not your typical Hallmark film. And so, yeah, so how we define, you know, a Christmas tale can be very broad indeed. And
oh, absolutely.
You can have a lot of fun with that. I count Krampus as a Christmas movie. We watch it. Now we watch it every year as part of our holiday viewing. So that counts. In addition, of course.
I see legions of people every year around this time of the year talking about Die Hard being a Christmas movie. So really, I mean,
it counts. Yep. It does count. And, yeah, of course, I do watch the classics like Christmas Vacation. You know, it just never gets old for me. That always resonates. But, yeah, Krampus is one I watch yearly. Die Hard fits, Gremlins fits. And, I mean, like we said, Holly and I did a show around Thanksgiving that was talking about holiday writing for holidays and doing movies and film and books, you know, that had holiday themes. And we talked about some of this stuff. And I even brought up how Rocky, the first Rocky movie, is actually, you could almost say it's a Thanksgiving movie because it has an iconic Thanksgiving scene in it. So yeah, I mean, it's you can get a little loose with the rules on what constitutes a holiday tale. So yeah, I can have some fun with that. So let me roll that around, Tommy.
I've got one for both of you. As what do you think constitutes a Christmas story? I mean, what do you have to include in your writing that considers it to be a Christmas story, not just, you know, religion aspect or anything like that? What makes it a Christmas story? Is it time, place? What is it?
Well, it could be a story predominantly set on Christmas Day or on, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or that time period. And so the setting would be obviously, you know, drenched in, you know, Christmas lights and what have you, and perhaps snow or whatever the Christmas is like that particular year, people in celebration and however it is they celebrate. You could have something, of course, you could go directly into that and have a, you know, killer Santa Claus and what have you, as people do.
Yes.
You know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, something along those lines.
Phenomenal movie.
I mean, there are a lot of things you could do. You could go into the sort of mythological end of, you know, Christmas, what with the North Pole.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been all sorts of different spins on that over the years, and elves and what have you. I mean, there are a lot of ways you could go to, you know, or it could simply take place on Christmas or around Christmas.
But do you feel there's one key element that has to be included to consider it a Christmas story?
I think as long as some aspect of it is prevalent in the story. You know, whether it be of the setting or the characters or, you know, the fact that perhaps there's a lot of talk of Christmas. And, you know, I think it's, to me, I suppose it's more a matter of setting. It would be, I would think.
What do you think, Zimmer?
I think, well, I can't add anything to what Tommy said, and I can't add anything to what Moon said, because, yeah, I think that sums it up. Moon said in the chat room that it must take place on and or around Christmas, and that's the only, like, hard rule. And, you know, just having it at that time of the year, it doesn't have to be right in the center of it. It can be, you know, part of the backdrop, part of the fabric of it. You know, it could be just an aspect of it, but yeah, something that takes place, you know, around the actual holiday, on or around it. I think that's definitely kind of what I would key in on for sure. And yeah, I mean, you can kind of segue some neat stuff into it, like Gremlins did, where he had the Mogwai as a gift, you know, and during the Christmas holidays, and that leads to sheer mayhem, of course. But yeah, I think that's the key. It's like Tommy said, it's largely setting. Yeah, you don't have to go, you know, Hallmark movie kind of vibe on it. It can take many, many flavors. And like Holly said, you got a lot of lore with elves, and elves are not always cuddly, if you know.
Norse
roots and Scandinavian roots of that. You have elves are not always cuddly, and you've got neat things like the Yule Cat, which in Iceland, yeah, the Yule Cat, and that's a fun one.
What we just did.
If you're not wearing
Steven.
The clothes you got for Christmas, then
Tommy will get a kick out of
the Yule Cat.
The Yule
yep.
Kitty. We played a D&D one-shot a couple of weeks ago with the older grandkids and the parents, and John, Bill Foley, was the DM on this. And we had to conquer the Yule Kitty. And I knew right away when we get ready to do this, I was like, oh, that's the Yule Cat. This is the Yule Kitty. And he's like, you caught on. I knew right away. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. But we didn't actually kill him. We just defeated him. But he come back. But
yeah, you can't really kill him. but we had a lot of fun with that. A lot of fun. Yeah. And it looks like Amy McCorkle is in the chat room now. Hello, Amy, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you as well, as she has joined us as well. But, yeah, it was a fun one-off. And, yeah, we had all kinds of stuff and had a witch that we had to go up against, and they had kidnapped Santa Claus, and they had brought in frost goblins. They had taken all the elves captive.
Yeah,
it's quite the story. It actually would be kind of amusing if it was like a little show or something. It would have been quite funny. But the kids seemed to like it, so that made for a good night. Yeah, they're enjoying it. We haven't gotten a chance to play a lot of D&D in recent months.
Well, we can't get over the sickness. The house right now, I apologize for our voices and me coughing. I took a cough pill before I got on here, but we're all battling a flu. We took the COVID test. We're not COVID positive, but the whole house.
Yep.
I mean, we're all, because, the grandkids live here, their parents, and we've all got it. So we're all coughing and snotting, and it's just awful. One of us get it, we all get it. You know how that goes. So I'm going around with Lysol and doing my thing. But, we're stuck in again. But hopefully we're getting a little better. So hopefully by, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day we'll be okay, because I've got to start making candy tomorrow, whether I feel like it or not.
We're like the band Disturbed. We're down with the sickness. Yeah. And which
so
I'm
much
sure
this
we'll,
year. We've got to have a better year.
They're coming to play Rupp Arena in February here in Lexington, and I'm sure that song will definitely resonate with me after the run we've had the last few months.
Hey, Steve, that's a great segue for one little throw off question here. What's your favorite Christmas song, Tommy, Steve?
Holly Jolly Christmas. Now.
Oh, yeah, that of course, Holly Jolly Christmas.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of a Christmas song that I actually enjoy listening to. Let's see.
Mine is The Little Drummer Boy, because it's one of my favorites since I was a little kid.
It always has been, but somehow being with Holly has made Holly Jolly Christmas a little extra special, but I will say, if you're going to ask me what metal song that has a Christmas theme, then it'd be King Diamond's No Presents for Christmas.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I have some looking here in my library of music. I have Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 12:24.
Yes.
That's either from Sabotage's Dead Winter Dead album or Trans-Siberian Orchestra later.
Yes.
That was always a good one. Of course, there's No Presents for Christmas, as you mentioned. Red Water, Christmas Morning by Typo Negative from the October Rust album. Also.
Yes. Ooh. Good call. That is awesome.
Nice.
And that's, I'm glad you brought up the Sabotage one. They supposedly have a new album coming in the next about year or so that they've been working on, and they're not done yet, which is awesome. I thought everything was kind of wrapped up with them, but I guess John Oliva's got another one up his sleeve, and looking forward to that. That Dead Winter Dead album was really good, and I've heard that live with TSO. I've been to TSO, seen TSO several times. Great song, and very powerful, and
it's
a good one to spin on vinyl.
So it's TSO came about after Sabotage was sort of able to attain this level of popularity and recognition that Sabotage didn't as much because of, you know, the decline of metal's popularity during the...
Right.
But it was good to see because, you know, and as a guitarist, Chris Oliva, I mean, he was always... As far as back as Hall of the Mountain King, you see some of those classical influences, like for the intro for that song, for example, Prelude to Madness. Then, I mean, so that is good to see that sort of something that he started, that the Oliva brothers both started all that way, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Flossman is something that everyone out there is listening to Sabotage and they just don't know it, you know.
Yep. And who can forget the little troll?
Some people
running around in the Hall of the Mountain King video. That little troll guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best. Definitely a legend. You know, that was during a good time in my world as a metal fan for sure. Yeah, I saw that on Headbangers Ball back in the day. Lots of fun.
I remember the video. It's been a little while, but yeah.
And we've got from Moon weighed in on this one. Amy says Carol of the Bells is her favorite. And Dwan Hearn said, Moon says, he says Chestnuts Roasting is his second. So I guess he has another one here.
The Grand Old Nat King Cole. Love Nat King Cole. That was Christmas song, by far. It's what we grew up on, Gen Xers. You know, it's what we grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. That's good stuff. But yeah, Tommy, your picks are excellent. And since we did mention metal, I have to ask you, and I'll give you mine. What is your album of the year for 2023, and why?
Ooh. I know what Steven's going to say.
2023, let's see.
Do you want to have a minute to think and I'll give mine? Or do you want to go? You want to go for it?
Well, I've actually been reaching back, listening to a lot of older stuff more this year. So to try to find something that's newer that I've actually been listening to.
Reflection. Well,
let's
we could start there. What have you been re-listening to?
Some of the latest stuff. Now, I mentioned to you that I was listening to that A to Z album. That's actually 2022, apparently.
There's
also
that's on my list.
I don't know if you're familiar with Author and Punisher. Is that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had been listening to their Cruller album, but that's also 2022. So. Trying to find something that's actually 2023 that I've been listening to, but those are newer albums that have been in rotation. But
yeah, it's been a pretty good year, 2023. I've got I've corralled like my top about dozen that I wanted to post about online, kind of like a little countdown of my favorites. But yeah, there's been some good stuff put out this past year in the hard rock and metal worlds. Had a lot of fun with a lot of them, but I had one in particular that just shined above all, and I can't stop talking about it. So,
well,
let's
hear it.
It is well. You mentioned TSO, and he sang with TSO originally. He had a band called Animal Drive, where he kind of got on the map, and then since then he did a couple of solo albums with Michael Romeo from Symphony X. Sang on some Magnus Carlsen Freefall project, one of his projects, and he helped out with Whitesnake on their last tour. And I'm speaking of Dino Jelusic, who I think is a powerhouse. He's only like 29, 30 years old, and I think he's a powerhouse of a vocalist. He's like if you took Dio and David Coverdale and kind of blended them together. It gives you an idea of the kind of power and texture that his voice has. But he is, I mean, just great range, very powerful vocalist. And he can do some of the gritty stuff too, like he does some growl stuff. But he released his debut album from his band Jelusic called Follow the Blind Man. and it just blew me away. I mean, this is phenomenal, and there's not a filler track on it. Production is A-grade. His guitar player from Animal Drive came with him, a guy named Keller, and the guy is just sensational on guitars. And, of course, Dino is just, you know, I think he's one of my top – he's definitely one of my top 10 favorite vocalists of all time already, and probably arguably in my top five now. I just think his voice is just top-notch. I mean, he's just that good. And he – yeah, it's – I mean, there are just – I would suggest if you look it up online, look up a track called Flying High Again. Animal Inside is another one, and Reign of Vultures is another one, and it's just really, really good stuff. And he's got another band that's more of a prog metal band coming out in early 2024 called Whom Gods Destroy, and it has Derek Sherinian from formerly Dream Theater and Black Country Communion, and it's also got Bumblefoot, who was with Guns N' Roses and Sons of Apollo. And it's got like some real heavyweights in the band, and he's the vocalist for that band, and their first one's coming out in I think February, March, but it's going to be more of a prog metal kind of feel, a little heavier. This one has a lot of real big choruses, a lot of hooks. It does get heavy. It does have a heavy edge, but it definitely falls in the hard rock / metal kind of category, you know. And it's got it's got a couple of slower tracks, but I mean, they're awesome. And yeah, I can't stop listening to it. So yeah, that's definitely by far my album of the year. But you know, honorable mentions. I mean, there's some really, really good ones like Primal Fears, Code Red, Overkill had a new one called Scorched, which is one of their best ones since Horoscope and Years of Decay. I think it's their best since about that period.
Well,
then Dokken put out what I think is going to be their final album, and it turned out to be a gem. And so yeah, there's definitely been some really, really good albums put out this year. Another one by Scar Cemetery. They put out their first album in several years,
yes.
And they are just phenomenal. And this is the — I always get the title wrong, but it's like the Singularity 2. It's like the second one in their Singularity trilogy. And it is —
well,
and Goliath by Cataclysm. Love that album.
Oh,
came out in August. And Metallica is solid. I mean, I thought a lot of people —
yes,
I know
that's
72
I was
Seasons
say.
Was pretty solid. It was a good side. No, it's not going to make you forget Ride the Lightning or Master Puppets, but it's a really solid record. And I thought they did a really good job, you know, and I enjoyed it. And would we like Ride the Lightning or Master Puppets one more time? Sure, yeah, of course. But I really liked it for what it was. So yeah, there's a lot of good releases I think that came out. But yeah, Jalusic, just how fresh and energetic and just catchy it is. I mean, and I think you'd like it because it straddles that line of hard rock metal, and it does it well. So
I'll
give
that
one a
in
shot.
Mind.
Yeah,
there are a couple of those you mentioned, such as Scar Cemetery and of course Overkill, that I've not caught up with their latest releases. So, of course, that would be something I would want to look into. I know I've done a lot of good – Scar Cemetery has done a lot of good work over the years. And Overkill, of course, I remember listening to a lot of their earlier work and then always enjoyed that. And off and on throughout the years have checked out what – I don't have their newest one. I did manage to find a couple of albums from this year that I have been listening to. One is the Phantomime EP from the band Ghost. Mostly cover songs, but I really enjoyed their cover of We Don't Need Another Hero, you know, originally by Tina Turner from the Mad Max
Thunderdome
soundtrack.
Yes.
So if you've heard that, that's an excellent cover. Then there's also October Tide, The Cancer Plant. That was a band that was sort of an offshoot of the old Catatonia back when they were a doom band. Everything I've heard from that has been excellent.
Yeah, they're really melodic.
They've got a new one out.
People look at the imagery of Ghost. They always, you know, are like, well, they must be like really heavy metal band. No, they're actually very, very melodic and very catchy. In some ways, kind of 80-ish in some of their structure and hooks and melody and whatnot. I mean, definitely a band that, yeah, the image doesn't quite line up with the music, but it's really, really good stuff. I've got a few of theirs as well. But, yeah, it's been a good run lately on some metal. The thrash metal band Sadus came back after many years and got a new one out. And that's another one that I've checked out a few of their tracks. And Immortal, War Against All, they got a new one out. And this past year, it was really good. And I think Immortal is awesome. I'm glad we have both Abath and Immortal now, so we get two albums now that are similar in style and all. But, yeah, Immortal is another one that I can recommend on the heavy end of the spectrum. And Lynch Mob's Babylon, and of course, that is George Lynch, formerly of Dokken, and his band Lynch Mob has, you know, put out albums since 1990. With Wicked Sensation, but this new one that he put out, Babylon, is really, really good. It's the best since his first two, in my opinion. So, yeah, there's a lot of flavors out there. King's X even had a new one out this year. So, yeah, that's a lot of good stuff out there. But, yeah, because I believe that was 2023, that newest one they have. But I think that was a little bit earlier, 2023. So, yeah, if I happen to screw up and it was a late 22 release, don't throw me over the cliff. But, yeah, I think it's really, really good.
I did manage to catch a few shows this year, and that was good. Some live music again. It's been nice seeing that out and around again. That big festival event, got to catch this new lineup of Pantera. Of course, I saw them a couple of times back with the classic lineup. But, you know, it was good to hear those songs live again. You know, and some others who were there. Of course, Rob Zombie was there. Got, you know, Gwar. I got to see Gwar, so that was
nice.
Entertaining. You know, they're really over the top. I've seen some others, you know, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains. I actually don't remember. That may have been last year, but it feels like it was this year. But it's, I was thinking it was earlier this year. Anyway, yeah, I've caught some good live shows.
I'll say I'd love to see Alice in Chains. I've never seen them, but I bet that's pretty badass.
Well, we are going
to go see
Alice in Chains is awesome. Yeah, I love their new guy. Well, not new guy, but William Duvall is really top notch.
And I would even recommend, even if Jerry Cantrell goes on a solo tour, catching his show, because he plays many of the AIC classics, and it was very well delivered, you know. Play some of his solo material. It's about equal parts. His solo albums and then Alice in Chains, but that was a really strong show.
Yeah. No, you can't go wrong with that. Pantera is coming here with Lamb of God in February. Disturbed is coming in February. Then I believe it's May is when Greta Van Fleet's coming, and I think they're getting better with every single album. Very Led Zeppelin. I know that people
and
always...
And then we've got wrestling, too. Don't forget
Raw's
coming.
Yeah, you got Raw Wrestling. Yeah, you got the Raws hitting Rupp Arena. And the kids, of course, have got me back into watching that with them, and so that'll be fun. And, there's something coming in March. I want to say there's something big hitting Rupp Arena in March, but Greta Van Fleet I am looking forward to. I think they get better with every album. Starcatcher is also in my top, 12 or so for the past year, and that's that came out in July, but they fit good with bands like Dirty Honey, who also had a good album this year, and Rival Sons, who also fit in that kind of category, where they do the kind of almost like 70s kind of rock style, and all those bands do, but they do it very, very well. And Rival Sons actually had two new albums last year, Dark Fighter and Lightbringer, so there's quite a bit out of that subgenre, so. That came out. That was pretty decent, but that's not till May for that. But that's what we got on our radar. The only show I saw in 2023 was the main show I saw was Bush. And of course, Holly didn't mind that. Yeah, took to see Bush.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, back in.
Well,
Louisville.
Actually, I got to see them as well. They were at the festival too. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've actually caught them a few times over the years.
Rockwell.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually saw them back when they were on tour for 16 Stone back in, when was that,
96
or so, and
yeah,
a few times since over the years.
Well, Tommy, since you're big into metal, have you actually listened to the new Bush album, though? I mean, it's phenomenal. My God, they really come out of the gate just pounded. It is a metal person's dream.
It seemed to be sort of a heavier, more rhythmic approach in their music. They played some of their new songs live, so I did hear them.
Oh, phenomenal. So, just a phenomenal album. Because, you know, my son Noah, he's a metalhead, and he has always teased me about Bush over the years since he was a kid, you know, because I've always loved Bush, but he's always teased me. And now I let him listen to that new album, and he's like, what? That's Bush? I'm like, yeah. And he was digging it. He's like, wow. Yeah.
Last two albums take on a real heavier flavor.
Really?
Kingdom and Art of Survival. And this band he's got, his chemistry is phenomenal. So definitely think they're on a great run. Yeah.
That
he's fierce.
Freaking hits, man. He even broke a part of his drum set, and they had to repair it during the concert when we were there. It just went as smooth as all get out. I mean, they was repairing it and putting new snare on. He just kept a banging and going along, you know, keeping the beat. It was amazing. It was.
Yeah, that was top notch. Yeah, that show was worth every moment. And the opening act was she calls herself the Goth Dolly Parton. She goes as Devora, and she was a lot of fun. She put on a really good set. Yeah, definitely was some cool stuff. But that was a good show. I'm hoping that I want to make sure we catch Pantera, Disturbed, and Greta Van Fleet. But hopefully there'll be a few more shows in 2024 we'll be able to get to. But yeah, hopefully Holly and I can finally have a year of sanity and we'll never have a year of pure sanity, but hopefully a little more sanity. We can get out to a few more things like that.
Well, if I could stay well enough and stay out of bed, it would be great. Yeah.
Yep. And
but here we are.
Go ahead, Tommy.
I was just saying, well, hopefully everyone will be in better health by the new year, or well before then, with any luck and fortune.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we've just been battling one thing after another, but it's we hold the line, Tommy. But so what is there? Well, since this is kind of like the last time we're going to be able to talk to you on the air before the new year hits, what are your goals next year? You know, I'm not going to ask you, like, do you have any New Year's resolutions? But yeah, what are you looking forward to in 2024 in the world of Tommy B. Smith?
Well, I'm looking forward, of course, to getting the third Black Carminia book out, to going out on got a ton of events lined up next year, doing both the Scares That Care events. Of course, I'm doing Imaginarium and some others. OKC Halloween or Horror Fest, I'm sorry, even though it is very Halloweenish too. But so got a whole bunch of events that went really well last year, and of course I'm going to come back and do them sooner con. Obviously I do that one every year too. There are certain events I always come back to, so Imaginarium and sooner con are two of those, but Scares That Care are the author con, you know, presented by Scares That Care. I've started doing that one, and that's been going really well as well. So, but yeah, getting into the book out, getting back out on the road, and getting some more writing done, you know, business as usual, but new business.
Yeah. And we're going to be cooking up some good stuff for you at Imaginarium. Don't you worry a bit. It's going to be the best yet. And we got some good stuff percolating right now, which I hope to be able to announce very, very shortly. So, but hey, at least we did get to announce one of our legend guests for this year, Steve Jackson, who's, you know, an icon in the tabletop gaming world. He's well loved.
Saw that.
Yeah, in that area, and definitely an honor to have him come aboard. If you go on our guest list, you can see an arsenal of just great, great people there that are already set to come. So, but yeah, we should have a guest of honor and another Imaginator any minute. Any minute, we're so close to being able to go public. So so keep your eyes peeled.
Well, I got the go ahead. I got the go ahead while we were on the show tonight. I know Stephen had my emails, but I actually got to go ahead, and that's what I was doing. I disappeared from the chat for a little bit because I was taking care of some stuff. But we got to go ahead. It's going to be a huge announcement, big, big Imaginator guest announcement. People are going to flip and just be happy for the new year, you know.
There we go. Well, hey, then we got something fun tomorrow for you to look forward to, Tommy.
Fun.
Once I get off the phone and sort this out.
Fun for the new year. What is your New Year's resolution, Tommy B, before we go?
Oh, she is going to ask you that. How about that? I was going to let him off the hook.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, I never actually make New Year's resolutions. I make spur-of-the-moment resolutions. So, New Year's, typically I just stay up until the fireworks go off and drink a tasty beverage or two or three or however many until and then I make no resolution whatsoever, except hopefully to get up the next morning.
Yep. Make sure, the extent of my New Year's anymore, I don't want to go out and overpay at ridiculous parties that charge excessive amounts to get in the door and for the drinks, and then you have to worry about all the amateurs out there driving very badly under the influence.
Right.
And so, I tend to stay home these days and keep safe, and my New Year's typically is just making sure that, you know, the cat's got some treats and, just chill and have a glass of bourbon and call it a day and get ready for 2024. That's about as fancy as I make it, but it tends to keep me safe and out of trouble. So that's good.
Well, that part of it is good.
Yeah. Don't, cause it's not you that's the danger, Tommy. It's all those others that are out there. That's the danger.
Yep. Amen.
It's the fellow that not used to going out and partying that decides to get loaded and then get behind the old wheel. That's always the problem.
Yes.
But New Year's tends to have a lot of that. But
well, with the one fellow who across from town from myself who drove through a restaurant, had some drinks, apparently too many drinks, and drove through a restaurant and I saw the face on the news, and it was someone I knew from years ago, and I'm just thinking how he's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life, you know, due to one bad decision. It only takes one bad decision to cause a lifetime of hurt. So I suppose he's going to prison now, but, you know, not to end the show on a bleak note, but just, drinking and driving, if I could urge anyone to stay away from that, you sure enjoy a drink, but don't hop behind the wheel and don't hurt yourself or anyone else, please.
Plenty of options
have
in the age of Uber.
Driver.
And Uber is all over the place now.
Easy. If you don't want to be the designated driver, get an Uber. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. There's going to be plenty available on New Year's Eve because that's when the people make the money. They're going to be readily, ready to go.
Well, I will give you something upbeat, Tommy. I finally did get a bottle of Blanton's. Yes, I do.
No,
I have one in my house. It was given to me early as a Christmas gift by Rebecca and Metal Beck and Jordan, and they
very nice.
They got me a full bottle of Blanton's, and I've been very good. I've had it for a month.
I hide it,
and Holly hides
it. I hide it.
I ask her to hide it because it's so tempting. It's my all-time favorite, and I haven't had a bottle of it in a couple years. And so I'm being very, very careful on drinking it, and I've got plenty for Christmas now still. So I've been very good. And believe me, it's tempting. Because, it's so good. It's my favorite by far. But
Stephen, we have a quick caller if you see it. Do you see it?
Let me go over here because we were off. Oh, yes, we do. So you know who this caller is?
I do know who it is.
Okay, I will bring this caller on.
It's Mr. Will Hutchinson.
It is. Hold on, then. It's the birthday boy?
Man himself.
Look at that. Now, that's a good note to bring the show in its final segment.
Am I on?
You're on.
You're on, baby.
I'm on the internet.
The birthday boy.
Hello, Will. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Tommy. Good to hear from you.
No, likewise.
Happy birthday, Will.
Thank you. I'm sitting here on the back porch.
I had to mute myself because I was coughing. didn't want to cough on you to start your segment here, but so I had to mute myself. But yes, I hope you're enjoying that beautiful Woodford Reserve that you showed me in your picture you sent earlier.
Absolutely.
Because that looks delicious.
Last week, I discovered something. You can make a Godfather with bourbon.
Nice.
So a Godfather is traditionally amaretto and triple blended scotch in equal parts.
And you figured this out for bourbon now. Beautiful.
Yeah. You replace the scotch with bourbon, and it's delicious.
Well, Tommy, we got a budding mixologist here. This is promising. We'll have to have make sure he's at the room parties.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I'm always there. You know that.
Yeah. Now, you went to a nice dinner tonight at one of Lexington's finest restaurants, Malone's, I believe, right?
Yes. Very good stuff.
So you've had
a
good birthday
dessert.
Then. Nice.
Yeah, got a free dessert. It's pretty good.
Hey, yeah, Malone's is top notch. Yes, they do.
Like, oh, my God. I'd never had it before because the last time I was there, I wasn't legal. So.
Yes. Yeah, when you're in town, Tommy, you're going to have to go there. It's a superb restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've got on the walls all these like framed certificates of celebrities who've been there.
Hmm. They have Tommy on the wall.
They have Tommy B.
Not yet. But by God,
I'll go over and talk
to
them.
I'll have to visit them.
Well, yeah, we'll go there and talk to them. Get them an 8x10. Get it up there.
By God, I'm going to make sure they get mine up there.
Well, what's your favorite album of the year, Will?
Mm. Yeah, give us some of your favorite things of 2023 while you're here. Why not?
Oh, there's so much. This year was a good year for video game music. Three in particular that are really excellent. Alan Wake 2's soundtrack is incredible. And Final Fantasy 16 and Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I heard Baldur's Gate 3 sounded good. Yep.
Final Fantasy is in its 16th?
Well, there's technically a whole lot more than that. But this is the 16th numbered entry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
they've been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been around since the 80s.
Good Lord.
But, in terms of bands, Dad got me into these guys. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Their album, Weathervane, is a masterpiece. It's like,
check that out.
If you did Americana mixed with a little alternatives, it's genuinely excellent.
Do you know them, Tommy?
Not familiar with them.
No.
Yeah, I'm always willing to give a new band
or
artist to listen, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, he was with Drive-By Truckers, I believe is the band.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Familiar with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got an idea.
Yeah, he was singer-songwriter for them, and he's had a hell of a life since then, and now he's got his own band. It's Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, which is named after the psych ward from the town they're from.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Excellent stuff. In particular, I recommend the final track of Weathervane. It's called Miles. And my God, it goes from Tom Petty to Beatles in a snap. It's crazy.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have to listen to that.
Well, I love Tom Petty, so that sounds good.
Oh, I love the Beatles and Tom Petty, so
Tommy will appreciate this. I finally completed my Tom Petty discography. I finally got all Heartbreakers album and every solo album, which was slow but surely over the years. I finally got the last ones that I needed. So
I tell you,
love that stuff.
Tell you what, if I end up making it over to your place by on New Year's, I will introduce you to the music myself.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll work. Yeah,
you're
I'm not going anywhere.
Here on New Year's anyway.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going anywhere.
But I'm coming
yeah,
over if I got to wear a mask.
Yeah, you're welcome
yeah,
to see
you
us.
Yeah, you got to wear a mask around here.
That goes for you,
I'll
Tommy.
Come over, even if I have to wear a mask, because
if you get
I
like,
I miss you guys, and I have not seen you in months.
If Tommy gets really inspired, Tommy can just come up here too on New Year's. Also, what heck of a night! That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Well, I'll have to remember to fuel up my private jet so we can make it up there.
There
yes.
you go. There you go.
Well, oh yes,
I'm gonna hop off here. I think
all right, man.
Running a while.
Take care.
Longer than it should.
All right,
care,
you, thank you for calling in.
And we'll talk
to you,
you soon, baby.
Absolutely. Bye bye.
Good night.
Well, that's awesome. We got an extra call in there, Tommy, from the birthday boy himself. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was right. like. I went back over the board after checking a message, and there he was. How about that? But Holly, is there anything else that we should cover on this awesome special? I've had a blast, actually, so this has been very cool.
Oh, it's been so much fun. I think we've covered about everything.
Yep.
Well, there's
so
one other
sure.
thing. Stephen King has apparently announced that he hates Christmas movies, and now he is catching a lot of flack from people who are
I've
offended
that.
By that, that he dislikes
well,
feel-good
I'm
movies.
Well, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan, Tommy, of the Hallmark Christmas movies because obviously we know what they're written per formula, and they're always going to end good, and they're, you know,
the point.
Like a great
that's
romance novel.
That's the point.
Well, that's
yeah.
the whole point. But Stephen loves them. I entertain
yes.
him by letting him watch them. But
I need
yeah,
a few every
my
year.
Favorite thing.
I've got to keep some balance.
Or there's something.
I also.
Awful
I love
happens,
that too.
You know.
I love that too.
Yeah,
but
I love
yeah.
my topic.
But I need some feel good every yeah. once in a while. But we'll have to cut Stephen King slack. Why? Because what's the title of his latest novel, Tommy? Holly.
Oh, yes. Which I haven't started
that's
reading
right,
yet,
that's
but
right.
I was looking at it today and I'm like, I'm sick. I really need to start reading this.
You know, Tommy, I made darn sure that I got that on release day for Holly. That hardcover
cool.
came here on release day. I made darn sure she got it right away because I was like, this is priceless. Holly, the novel. And especially, it's like both of our names are on the cover in a way. Stephen, and he spells it with a P-H,
well,
and then Holly.
Fine.
If I just cover
true.
The king,
oh.
if I cover the king, you know, you got Stephen and Holly on the cover. So there you go. So it's kind of neat, but is there anything else? Do you have a profound statement to make, Tommy, or have we completed our mission of this fine Christmas Eve show?
Well, I think for the most part, mission accomplished. It's been a good show. It's been a good another round. Been good visiting. You know, it's been I don't know how many years that we've done. We've been getting together to do the Christmas special
yes.
episode, but yeah, we're still doing it, so.
Yes, we are. And let's come roaring into 2024. And
yes,
let's,
2024
let's shake,
coming up soon.
Shake the walls and make the breakout. Yes, looking forward to it. But thank you for joining us. I know it's been insanely busy for you and not easy for you to – carve out some time windows, but especially after last night when we had ran our brick wall with the system here, you know, the whole system being down. Glad you could come back and we could have our Christmas special. So that's great.
At least, you know, at least nothing blew up, anything like that.
Yeah.
Transformers didn't. I mean, as far
right.
as I know, I don't know what caused the actual outage. Maybe they did.
Yeah, at least none blew up here because, yeah, we've had Transformers blow up outside the house during shows before and tornadoes go by.
The episode
so,
you did with Bridget
yeah.
Nelson.
Yep, that was epic. Yeah, we were down to the phone, and that was it. That was everything was down, no power. But yeah, one measly battery away from having the whole show just click off. So that was rough. But all right, well, Holly, do you want to do the honors and close it out with Tommy? And wishing you the best year ahead ever, Tommy. And also, yes. But go ahead, Holly.
I want to say Happy New Year to everyone and Merry Holidays. And today is definitely a blessed solstice, blessed Yule. Light them Yule logs tonight and have a good time. Thank you, Tommy B., as always, every year for our Christmas Eve special. Eve, or where we're at tonight.
Yep, correct. That's correct.
But
that's correct.
It's been a trip. It's been a blast. And thank you for joining us every year, you know, since that first Christmas Eve many moons ago. And, have a great weekend. We'll catch you next Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Merry holidays. Eat a lot. Enjoy a lot.
Yes.
Have great family time. Listen to some great albums. Watch some great Krampus movies. And we will catch you then.
Well, it's been a pleasure as always. everyone stay safe.
Yeah.
Entering 2024. Wishing everyone the best. And to all a good night.